from the land of the
welcome
free.
Welcome back. We have a special present for you.
The
NFL
does.
This
podcast.
Is Locked On Chiefs. And the Chiefs got a couple more options coming this offseason. We're going to detail it for you here today, coming up in a little bit. We're brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. This is going to be fun because I always like getting new presents. You know, it's fun to unwrap them. We're going to get into that here in a second. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it every single day. We are here for you guys, and big news coming out of the NFL. They finally announced a salary cap number. And if you don't remember, we already covered this like 3 weeks ago about what the Chiefs kind of needed to do to get under the cap. So you can go back and look at that. I believe it's the week of February 14th through the 18th. But I have to ask you, Ryan, is it the Chiefs that want a guard, or is it, you know, maybe it's the Niners, or maybe it's, you know, the Ravens, or maybe it's any of the other 32 teams in the league, because it seems like there is guard after guard after guard after guard after guard that's getting cut right now. And I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs going, make a move, Kansas City.
Possibilities. Unfortunately, you can't right now. I mean, technically you could, but that means you have to make more. And back to what you said, for those of you that are catching up and maybe you have the post-Super Bowl doldrums, we went through every single move that they can make to get under that cap, how they would do it and when it would happen. So if you're recently getting, oh, this is where they are cap-wise, we've got it all mapped out. Go back and check out those shows because we laid it out. And with one or two of those moves, they can make significant progress. They probably need a third if they're going to do something like that and sign one of these guards that is now suddenly homeless, which I feel for them, but it's a good issue to have for the Chiefs, especially when guards aren't really going to be that great down in the third and fourth round, fifth round in the draft. That's okay because the Chiefs got some compensatory picks today that I think are going to help them, and they're not, I think, going to be guard-oriented, but what numbers did they come out at?
145 in the fourth round, and I'm not sure where they came out in the fifth. It's one of the, what is it, around 170?
Is that the one that got revised? So 145 went to 144, right?
You're right. It did get revised because they gave too many picks to the 49ers, so it went to 144, and then the other one would be around 170.
Yeah, so right now, 31-63, 95, 137, 144, 176, and 181. Most likely 202 from Miami as well. So that is a growing, like that's a good haul. When you have eight picks, and especially I think this particular draft extends down into the fourth round where you can get some good value. The Chiefs have now five picks in the first four rounds.
That's what you like to see. And I think that you're also in a situation. And honestly, when we start talking compensatory picks, the question going into next year will be how many compensatory picks could Kansas City see coming from their free agents this year? Mm-hmm. What I will say, and I think that this is going to probably hurt the entire NFL, I would think that most of Kansas City's free agents are probably not going to be the higher price free agents. And with the salary cap going down for the first time in I don't know how long, or going way down for the first time in I don't know how long, it is going to be a bloodbath, you know, with cuts that are coming over the next couple of days. But not only with cuts, but the middle tier guys are not going to get the contracts they were hoping for. I think the stars still get paid, but with all the stars, and specifically at the guard position, like I was talking earlier, with all the stars that are being cut there, you're going to have guys that are going to have to take contracts that they don't really care for because they just want to play and they want to have a chance to make more money the next year.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous proposition because if you go without film this season, it puts you at a disadvantage for trying to get a contract next season. So you definitely need to play, even if it's for peanuts right now, in order to have recent film. That's what it's all kind of based on. And that all goes towards that film's got to show that you're able to fit into an offense. And for this Chiefs offense, it's about protecting Patrick well enough for him to do what he needs to do, to be the guy that not just does what he wants, but does what he needs to do. His discipline is a topic that we need to talk about because at the end of the day, he is the fire that lights everything.
No, he is. And I want to say one more thing really quick. especially with all these guards, and I know I'm harping on this point, but this is huge to me. If they go out and sign one of these guards, if they are able to find a way to get the money to go sign one of these guards, and you go into next season having a veteran at left guard and maybe LDT back at right guard, maybe you can go draft a center and have him be a rookie. Maybe you can go that direction. Yeah. And I know we talked about Allegretti at some point, maybe, but if you think you can go get maybe a Kevin Zeitler who just got released or somebody else that's out there with all these different offensive linemen getting released, I think it's worth looking at.
Yeah, I'm going to call this the patchwork quilt year, because these offensive lines around the league are now going to be throwing guys in because they have talent or experience and trying to make it fit. I think it's going to be an interesting experiment. But the Chiefs offensive line is certainly one that does need some revamping. We'll see if they make moves. We're going to get into Patrick Mahomes about his decision making, how he can take his game yet again another step forward, because as good as he is, there is room for that. And then we have to get into what a defensive end in this particular defense has to be in order for Spags to get things done in 2021. That is coming up next. The chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on whims like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice the money for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is best. It's Built Bar Madness. There are daily matchups as all the high powered flavors go head to head. Go to BuiltBar.com or at BuiltBar on Twitter. Check out the matchup and vote in the Built Bar bracket. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back and see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news, every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And this week we've been talking a lot about, you know, the things that they need to do in terms of bringing in personnel. There's another subject that has to be changed. There has to be work done about how they go about playing the game, and it's not about a personnel change because Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere for a very, 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 very long time. And I think one thing that we can take away from the way the season ended, and not just that Super Bowl, but as it went down through the playoffs and he got more deep coverage, he got more pressure because of the offensive line, all these things, I think there's definitely something that Patrick himself needs to work on, taking what's there, not always trying to push, even when you're behind, even when you know you're explosive. I think the discipline of the quarterback in this case, in being able to move the ball, is something that they have to revisit. And he in particular has to be a little bit more of a 360 view rather than just the downtown view.
Yeah, I could see that. I will say this, though. I think that early in the season, I think he did that well. I think that he just got pressing when it came to the Super Bowl and he was trying to give his team a chance. And at the point where it really started to go off the rails, they just needed to put points on the board and he had to try to do anything he could. So I do see what you're saying and I agree with you. I think that there are some things that he probably missed that are short, but I think that that's also something that he has worked on and I think he'll continue to get better at as he progresses year to year.
I think so too. And I think it's just got to be something that we don't just sweep under the rug, because it's not just about getting those big plays. It's got to be about attacking where somebody's weak. And if that means a light box, when you call an RPO And I will grant you this. I don't think Andy called enough things down the stretch of the last two games in particular, but maybe even a little bit more than that, that set him up to have that leveled play, those leveled options, rather than the four goes or the three goes in and in or that kind of thing. I think it does go hand in hand. This isn't just about Patrick, but I think they, as a cohort, as a two-headed monster, have to make sure that they're attacking the weakness of the defense, not just where they want to go. And I do feel that got away from them late. If they continue to see these light boxes, I think that means two things. The RPOs have to end in more handoffs, and I think that the route trees have to get shrunk. And again, like we talked about the wide receiver earlier in the week, it has to be those short slants and drags and quick hitting routes.
And I agree with everything you just said. My counterpoint to you would be, I think it also gets to a point where you have to have linemen that you feel comfortable running behind. And I don't know that the Kansas City felt like they had that the last part of the season. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but it sure didn't seem like they were wanting to run the ball when maybe they should have run the ball. And we always know that Andy Reid is going to be Andy Reid, and he's not going to run the ball that much. But he got so far off course of running the ball and using some of the things that he's used in previous seasons. And honestly, you know, you and I laughed about it when Alex Smith was here, and, you know, he was throwing a lot of wide receiver screens and getting the ball out quick that way and using those as runs. I don't understand why he hasn't done that with Patrick, because to me, that's a skill set that where you can actually use Tyreek Hill and use Mecole Hardman and use those guys on the edge and not have to actually hand them the ball off in the middle of the field, but get them in the edge, get them in space where they can use their speed to their advantage and use those as types of runs. They don't have to be actual runs. Mahomes can make those plays, and I would think that that would open other things up.
I have to agree with you, and I think there's things that you can do. The trend for the Chiefs' motion game the last few years has been crossing the formation behind the line of scrimmage and getting it into your playmaker's hands quickly. That's great, but there's also something to be said that they don't have to cross the formation. You can run those motions and hit it before they're inside the tackle box and let them get the ball on a short pass 3 yards down the field rather than 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I think that's another twist that they have to revisit.
Well, I think there's lots of twists, and I do think that Andy Reid is going to have a lot of fun this offseason. And if there's one thing I know about Reid, it's that he is going to have something brand new to show off next year. And I'm really looking forward to that, because every single year he has changed this offense and added a new wrinkle or two or three or four. And it's always fun to see what new wrinkles he comes up with, because what you'll end up finding is that he was doing all the motion and everything this year, and he's done a lot of motion throughout his career, but usually teams are following up with him, you know, a year or two after he's been doing it. They're starting to do what he was doing 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what is Andy going to bring that's going to be new this year? And that goes back to what I said when we were talking about the wide receiver position and the tight end position. What can you go out and get in draft, and what are Veach and Reid looking at to bring in offensive weapons that gives you a different skill set than something you have right now, that gives you the ability to do different things than you have been able to do in the past?
Yeah, and that's something back to our H-back discussion earlier in the week. You know, a two-man tight end screen pattern. I mean, there are a lot of wrinkles that could come from just a slight adjustment in personnel. I am with you. I am really intrigued to see what Andy Reid comes up with. It's, again, going to come back to the quarterback delivering it in a way that exploits the defense's weakness. And I think that's got to be not just the killer instinct with throwing the ball deep, because we found that there are teams that will play it so deep that you don't have that option, even with Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. And Lord knows what other burner they're going to bring in this particular offseason. I just wanted to get to more of an elite special ops kind of attack their weakness and exploit it until it destroys them.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked over and over almost ad nauseum about how you can't just attack the field deep on every single play, and I get that. But what I also will say is that Mahomes has the ability to take advantage of every single blade of grass on the football field. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think that they have really been lacking on plays that are near the line of scrimmage on both the outs on both sides of the field. They look in the middle of the field a lot. They don't do a lot of out routes. They do them from time to time, but they don't do a lot of out routes. They don't do a lot of swing patterns. with the running backs coming out of the backfield, which I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be very good at. I do think that there's additional things that they can start using. And yes, I understand that those aren't the sexy plays that people like. They aren't the bombs that are, you know, going to get highlight reels, but that opens everything up down the field. Mm-hmm. It just changes the dynamic of what a defense has to do, because if they're so worried about getting beat over the top and then you just hammer them and start doing 12 and 13 play drives, just taking what the defense is giving you and getting, you know, 3 or 4 yards a time, that's going to kill defenses. And by the fourth quarter, then you will start having bombs.
Absolutely. That is the formula that I promote as well. There are formulas about how to stop offenses as well, and they include how you use your personnel, what those personnel are meant to be. We have to talk about the Chiefs defensive ends, what they're looking for, and that is coming up next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing, and BetOnline even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Defensive end is a really interesting question this year, because I can see them going for an edge rusher early if they feel the right guy is there. But 90% of the questions that I get asked from fans are about guys that I don't think are actually fits. So if you take a step back, how do you describe what Spags is looking for in a defensive end?
Somebody that can set the edge. I think that's very important. I think you've seen that, and I think that's why they brought in Frank Clark, is because they like his ability to set the edge, which really can open up things when you're trying to stop the run. If you can at least set that edge and have a good edge every time that the ball is being run that direction, I think you're in a lot better position discipline-wise. Obviously, getting after the quarterback is important, but it's being disciplined and playing into the scheme and really being varied in your pass rush, but still staying in your lane. I think that all that's very important.
Yeah, the disciplined pass rush is key to this defense. But let's take a look at what these personnel are. Let's look at Frank and Alex Okafor, who started the most of the time. Tano Passanio right there with them. Taco Charlton the same. Mike Dana's the guy who was probably the shortest length on this roster. And let's even take it a step back to Osi Umenyura and Strahan and the guys that played in the Giants front when Spags was really successful. It's about size and length, period. There's a lot of pass rushers out there folks are asking me about, in particular, run up to this draft. And if you're 235 pounds or 240 pounds as an edge rusher, you're not a Spags guy. You're not going to see them take an undersized and what, quite frankly, is a 3-4 linebacker that they walk down into a hand in the ground in an even front. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to see that, you guys. You have to remember, when you're looking at prospects that you like, or you're reading about defensive end prospects that make an impact and that kind of, you got to remember how they fit, because the shortest line to the quarterback is straight through the guy's chest that's in front of you. So power is more important than ripping the edge in Spag's system. That's what you have to remember when you're looking at these prospects. I think there's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, there definitely are a lot of options. The question is Kansas City going to be looking? I think that they need to be looking. But again, I go back to what I said yesterday when we were talking about the interior of the offensive line. I really think that they need to focus on that. But they have so many positions that they do need help at, which is kind of funny because they were just in the Super Bowl, and yet you would think that the way that we've been talking about them and kind of, in a way, tearing the team apart, they would have a ton of holes. But they do have holes. Every team has to improve in certain areas from year to year. And for Kansas City, it's a question of what do you prioritize to fill your holes, and how do you – and I guess really where I would go with that is even expand it a little bit further and say, okay, well, maybe we can't get a defensive end this year, but we know that we can, you know, maybe – maybe we can use Willie Gay to, get after the quarterback a couple times and rush, and maybe we can use, you know, Tyrann Mathieu and rush. And so maybe you don't have the ability to invest in a defensive end, but you're using what you have to attack in other ways and make up for the lack of ability to go get the defensive end that you really need.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I think there are some hybrid guys in free agency because of their veteran status that could offer some of that. We've talked about a couple of them. We don't need to rehash that again, but there are a number of guys that have the length and the size required in this draft. I do think it is a draft position for them to get younger yet again. Obviously, with what we've both talked about with Taco Charton, hopefully to return, I think that balances that out. But at the end of the day, whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's going to be Herbert, or if Deshaun lands in the AFC West, I mean, let's not even talk about that right now. From that, you know, seven-ish technique, not quite a wide nine, they line up a little bit closer to the tackles in that scenario. I think that it's interesting that you bring up how you make up for that, because so far they've been making up with it with a lot of DB blitzes. But if you can get guys that can jack those tackles, not trying to rip by them, but by jacking them back up into the laps of the other AFC West quarterbacks in particular, but those in general, I think that's what Spags wants to do. And I think, honestly, it's the direction that this roster is going.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this also goes back to what we, when we talked about the interior of the defensive line. I think if you, maybe you can find a guy that gets after the passer a little bit more, but struggles against the run, so he's available late in the draft, and maybe you can get another defensive tackle that gives you that pass rush, which honestly would make it a little bit easier not to get a defensive end this year. I'm not saying they don't need a D end. I do think that they do. The question is how are they going to get that D end? Because when you start looking at the draft and you look at who's going to be available, defensive ends usually go high in the draft unless you're overdrafting. And I could definitely see a scenario where Kansas City would be stuck looking at guys that probably shouldn't be drafted until 50 or 60 at 31.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking at like the 90s as the spot to get one. There's a couple of guys that I like, and I'll go through those here probably next week. And once we get through the free agency bubble here, folks, there's one guy in particular that stands out that had a really great Senior Bowl. You can go back and see that. He was wearing a gold helmet if you want to go look at that film. And we'll revisit that coming up. That said, the cost to bring back Charlton, I don't know that he's ready to start, but how do you feel about, in particular, if they can't get that done, or you're right, if they're feeling like they're overdrafting at that point, how do you feel about the prospect of Mike Dann and Taco Charlton being your 1-2 punch for like first and second down versus a designated pass rusher?
I wouldn't like it, but I think this goes back to what we've kind of been talking about all week, and really most of this offseason so far, is that we're looking at what is available right now as of when we're recording this. I said early in the week that there's going to be a bloodbath when it comes to veterans being available. I do think that that's going to be something that's going to be a huge thing. Maybe there's going to be some pass rushers out there that we didn't expect to be available. Maybe Kansas City can get one of them. But there's a secondary side to all of this, and it is once teams draft people, they are generally more willing to release veterans as well. So It's possible the draft happens and Kansas City adds somebody in May or June that they didn't think would be available because they weren't expecting the team to release them, but the team drafted their replacement and they don't want to pay him now. So, and then you're almost in a better situation, because then most of the free agency money is gone and you're getting guys on cheaper contracts and they're playing for contracts for next year.
Well, and they were guys that their original team felt he's good enough for me to hold on to in case I don't get that draft guy. That's a good sign as well. And you know, Veach is going to be active. So I think that you could feel good about that. I just want to hone in on what they should be looking for and what fans should be expecting.
No, and I agree with that. But the other thing, Veach is going to be very active in that market, but he has the best selling chip that you can ever have when it comes to those types of free agents.
Yeah,
and that's one Patrick Mahomes. So what you want as a player, especially in a situation like that, if you're getting released after the draft and you're trying to find a new team, yes, you'd like to try to get money, but the reality is you're not probably going to find the money that you want, but maybe you can find a team where you could have a chance to go win a ring, which means you're going to be more high profile and you're playing for your next contract.
Yeah. And that's motivation.
That would be the bonus for Kansas City.
You know, there's too many things that I could just throw out a quote from Therese that would cover this topic, and this is always one. Get somebody in a contract year. All these one years are all contract, right? Every single one-year deal is a contract year, so see what the Chiefs can wrangle together and puzzle together to make all the pieces fit. We will definitely walk you through everything that goes on. We'd like to know what you would like to hear about as well. How do you feel how we're doing this off season? There's so many topics. We're trying to cover them all, but leave us an iTunes review. Let us know what you think or what you'd like to hear. Leave us that 5 stars so that more fans find us and we have a bigger conversation. We're looking forward, and there's one domino that has to fall, and it's got to be something that I think, whether it happens this week, it may have already happened by the time you hear this, because we're recording this a little bit early. It's not just whether it happens, but what happens when Tyrann Mathieu gets extended. How that affects the entire defense. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Don't miss it. Thanks for listening to us today. We will talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.